Good morning, brothers and sisters. I have two invitations first. The first invitation is, if you can, would you please sit near, come forward to sit near the pulpit. I get old and then I cannot see your face. Yeah. Thank you very much. The second invitation, if you have your Bible, will you please open your Bible to Acts chapter 2? We are reading verse 42 to 47. Thank you very much. Acts 2, 42 to 47. Here telling us something about the fellowship of the early disciples, of the early believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to pray together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I don't know what you're feeling after reading this passage. After reading this text, I told myself, I like to have such a church, a fellowship. God, please give me this fellowship. We are human beings. When something we see, it is good, we want to have it. Or at least we want to copy it. I have a friend in Hong Kong who has a very beautiful office. She is working for the government as a graphic designer. And then her office is on the 54 facing Victoria Harbour. If you have chance to go to Hong Kong, there is a Hong Kong Island and a Kowloon Peninsula. In between Kowloon Peninsula and the Hong Kong Island, there is a harbour called Victoria Harbour. Once I met her in her office, standing behind the big windows, my view covered the whole harbour, just like that. Look at that. Exactly like that. Although some building at that time does not exist, but the view is exactly like that on 54. Very beautiful. And then I told her, Rose, if one day you quit your job, let me know. I would like to have your position. And then every day I can look at this view. Wow, what a great office. With a cup of coffee, and then look at the wheel. It is really wonderful. It is my dream office. And then Rose replied. Rose told me, Aaron, my wheel is not as wide as yours. My wheel is 30 by 36, the size of the drawing paper. She is a designer to design everything. That's why her focus is on the drawing paper instead of the big wheel. Many of us may have the same idea regarding the event in Acts 2 here. We are tempted to think that the early church in Acts 2 is a perfect one. It is holy, it has no sin, without any sin, without any corruption. People love one another. And then I believe everyone, just like me, you want to have such a church. The question is, how can I make a church like that? Or what can I do to make a church like this one? Maybe some of you will use these verses to this passage as a blueprint to organize our church activities, our church event. Okay, let us look at this here. They devoted themselves to apostles' teaching. That means in our church, we must have preaching and teaching and education ministry, right? They devoted to fellowship. You will say that, yes, we have fellowship every Friday night, right? And then you say that they devoted to the baking of bread. You say, yes, we have it once a month. You can see that, right? The table, the Lord's table, we have it. And then we go on. And then we have a prayer meeting. All the believers were together and had everything in common. In common, you say, oh, it is a little bit hard. But I do share, I do donate, I do giving something to my brothers and sisters. Yes, I do it, right? And then we go on. Use this as a checklist. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. You say, oh, it seems it is not my business. It is church care and visitation, right? They care those who had need. I try, all right? I try to do it. Every day they continue to meet together in the temple court. That means they come to worship, right? Our program is a proof that we have worship here. Okay? This one is fine, right? And then they do break bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere heart. Yes, that is the greatest ministry we have. We have the kitchen over there, right? We have good chef over there. And then we call that, we don't call that a dining hall. We call that fellowship hall. It is really biblical, right? We have that ministry. We ate together. Praising God. Yes, we have praising team. We can praise all the time. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the sun, in the noontime. Praise Him, praise Him. Yeah, we always praise God. We have this. Perfect. I like this. If someone asks me to give a grade to my church, I can give it an A, or at least give it an A minus. Some of you may use the bulletin as a checklist to check. Oh yes, we have. It is a Chinese one. Okay, let me take the English one. Okay, here we have preaching, we have scripture reading, and then in the announcement we have the fellowship. We have everything, right? We should have a pass here. You know what? If you think that CMCNJ is okay by using this checklist, I tell you that I have a little bit disappointed. We should, when you say that, oh, you will think that yes, and then if we do all these things, one day we get the payoff. Then we can enjoy, as what the Bible said here, verse 47, that is the payoff, right? Then we should have, we just like what happened as the verse 47 here. We will enjoy the favor of all the people. Not only that, God, you will add people to us daily. Remember, every day, since I do all these things, you should give us something like that. I tell you, look at this. Look at this slide. If our church, if our fellowship is just like a program with a verse printed in the front cover and then with all the events print inside, it is not a church. It is not a fellowship. It is just something like the restaurant menu. Our church is not a restaurant menu. A church, a fellowship, should have something meaningful, some meaningful substance in it. Let's come back to Acts 2:47. 42 to 47. I believe that it is a wonderful church, populated with a very large number of new Christians. Among those 3,000, if you read the whole chapter, among those 3,000, only 120 have trusted in Jesus Christ for a longer time. It should be a model church we are longing for. Unfortunately, after we read the whole chapter, or we read the whole book of Acts, we will find that the early church in Acts is not the perfect one. Here telling us they are pursuing something, some right thing to do, simply going towards a right direction. That is why when we read it again, we are not only focusing on the activities, but the true meanings behind the event. I see the church, I see the early church, it's just a starting point, telling us the true meaning of the event and how to continue to develop and to mature. Here I take away 3 points in the text, 3 main points from many. I ask myself to practice all these 3 things in my church. Number one, we obey God's word. Here, verse 42 saying, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The church in Jerusalem was a Jewish church. People in the Jewish church, they know the Torah, the Old Testament, very well. Peter's preaching is full of authority from the above, and his teaching is mainly about the redeeming word of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for us, and we should repent and be baptized. Here it also remind me about Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ said in the Great Commission. Let's look at the Great Commission again. I read it to you. Then the 11th disciple went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubt. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. I will ask a question. When we say that it is a great commission, can you tell me why you said that it is great? How great it is? In what way do you understand that this is great? For me, it is great since it has a great curriculum. When you go to university or when you go to high school, when you go to the class, there is a curriculum, the content. In the Great Commission, there is a great curriculum. What is the curriculum? Can you tell me? The curriculum is everything Jesus has commanded you. This is great. And then it is great since it has a key word here, obey. Everything Jesus Christ has commanded you and I to do, revealed it in the Bible. All the teaching of Apostle Peter, Apostle John, Apostle Paul, and Apostle James are recorded in the New Testament. When we say that we have Christian education in our church, that means this church provides events for you to learn about what Jesus Christ commands you to do. However, if we know the word, if we read the word, if we receive these kinds of teaching without obedience, everything is in vain. So teachers, when you teach, you need to teach the text, you need to teach the Bible, also you need to teach them to obey. The evaluation of our education event is not how you run the program. The evaluation of the program of teaching should be based on the followers' obedience. Do they obey God's word? Jesus says, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded, and surely I will with you always. He will with us always. We will have a continued relationship with Him. We have fellowship with Him till the very end of the age. His word will be with us until He returns. The second thing, look at this. The second one. A fellowship should have something like that. We share what we have. In the Bible, verse 44 and 45, saying that all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. At that time, many people come to Jerusalem from different places. Most of them do not have much with them, so the rich had to support the poor. For Christian fellowships, believers come together. The word together leads me to think about relationship. Here we can find the description of their relationship. They saw everything in common. That means nothing belonged to me only. My is yours. My gift, my time, my money, when you need it, I'm willing to share it with you, whatever I have. The word, the key word here, when we look at it again, it is to give to anyone who had need. We need to do something. You may say that, oh, I share the answer of my math assignment with Patrick yesterday night. No one let him copy it, but he didn't do it. That's why I let him copy it. I'm sorry, Patrick. Yes, since I saw you just like to want to sleep. Okay, it's okay. Okay, come on, let's wake up. Okay. And then you say that I let him copy it. I don't want to embarrass you. I'm sorry, okay? Yeah, just an example. It is not what he needs. You are not doing the right thing. What he needs is to learn how to do the math. Okay? It is not a true sharing. Regarding sharing, the very first thing I suggest you to do is to take observation. To observe who has need. What they need. What can I share with them? We need a kind of wisdom. We are not sharing something what is extra to me. That means I have many and then I give you one. This is not sharing. I'm not sharing something like that. It is old. I will buy a new one. That's why I give it to you. It is not sharing. It is just like the garage sale, all right? It is not sharing. Sharing is you observe who has need and then you provide, you give it, you see that this is she or he or they have that need and then you share what you have. I'm not saying that you have garage sales for money to support the mission trip. It's not right. What I'm saying is that a real sharing is based on seeing everything in common and others' needs. Again, it is much more than a ministry. It is a kind of relationship. We need to learn to observe, to serve, to give to those we have need, who have need. When we come together, we can see many helping hands. We can see sharing and giving among us. The last point. See, we accept one another. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Again, together. That means it tells us to build up a kind of relationship. Gospel is really relational, right? They broke bread in their homes. Some translation is from house to house, which I believe sisters can do better job than, brothers, right? They eat together with glad and sincere heart. To eat together with glad, it is easier to understand, right? I can see your smiling face in the kitchen when you eat together, right? But I'm just thinking, why is say that with a sincere heart? Some translation saying that with a humble heart. When we give grace, we seldom say that, thanks, Father, thanks for your provision. Let's eat with a sincere heart. We seldom say that. What does it mean? Okay, let us look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 to 16. It can help us to understand it better. Galatians 2:11-16. Yeah, we can also look at the PowerPoint. I read it to you. When Cephas, that means Peter, Apostle Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face. I is Paul. Paul wrote this, okay? Paul opposed Peter to his face directly, direct conflict, because he stood condemned because Peter did something wrong. Let's see what's wrong. For before certain men come from James, those men come from James are Jewish, all right? Peter used to eat with the Gentile. That means this is what Peter teach other people to do. You should sit and eat with the Gentile. But something happened. But when the Jewish arrived, those Jewish are not real believers. They still believe in who is holy, who is not holy. Okay? And then, but when they arrived, he, that is Peter, Peter began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentile because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. You see what happened? Peter, he should be a model of all the believers. He should accept the Gentile. Usually, he will sit with the Gentile to eat. That means eat with a group of people. That means you accept them. Peter, originally, he accept those Gentile. Those people regarded not holy. He sit with them. But when the Jews come, he draw back and separate himself and then to sit with the Jewish only. That's why I'm saying that Paul point out that he did something wrong here. Okay, let's see how Paul comment this thing, okay? But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from Gentile because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy. Not only he do that, other people also see him as a model and then follow him to do that. And then Paul said that it is a kind of hypocrisy, not sincere. Doing something you want others not to do, and then right now you do it for yourself, it is hypocrisy, not sincere. You do not accept those you should accept. That's why I'm not going on to read the whole thing. You see that Peter here doing, he did something he did told others not to do. He knew that he should not reject the Gentiles or those they were not circumcised. So at first, he had used to eat with the Gentile. He accepted the Gentile, although they were not circumcised. However, when the other Jew came, those Jews were not real believers. They still believed that they should not eat with those who were not holy. In Christ, we should accept those who are with different culture, with different tradition, with different background. That's why when we come together to eat together, that means we accept each other. Paul teaches us something like that. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepts you, in order to bring praise to God, Romans 15:7. This is a beautiful picture. Just a moment ago, we sang a song saying that Jesus Christ is the lion and the lamb, right? Here, the lion and the lamb can eat together. They accept each other. It is quite impossible, but in Christ, we will do that. Hopefully, the lion won't find another lion saying that let us eat together. All right? The lamb and the lion eat together. Brothers and sisters, this passage tells me that although we are small here, we learn that everyone here can put these three points into practice. Number one, we obey God's word. We have fellowship with God. Number two, we share what we have to those who have need. Number three, we accept one another. This is the basic, this is the direction we needed to go onward. In the fellowship, we treasure how to build up our relationship with God and with man. We obey God's word, we share what we have, and we accept one another. Jesus Christ commands us to obey what he commands us to do. Those people who come to our church are under God's calling. God call them to come here. God bring them to us and ask us to have fellowship with them. If we do the right thing with a right direction, He will add more people to us. Thank you.